You are listening to the Real Faith Stories Podcast, interviews with people who chose to boldly follow their faith. I'm your host, Brian Robinson. Now, let's meet our guest and hear their story. Brian Collins, welcome to Real Faith Stories. Really looking forward to our conversation today and seeing where the Lord takes it.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for having me on.
One of the sentences I'd like to share is this: all kingdom innovation, technology, new business, ministry, etc., is the manifestation of an intimate relationship with God. I think we could just drop the mic there.
Yeah.
We'll go there. What I'd love for you to do first, Ryan, is just introduce yourself and share your backstory about your faith journey and then how you got involved in the tech space and what God has been doing through the training and connections you've been making with other people in that space.
Yeah. So again, just so honored to be on the podcast. I grew up in a Christian home and had an incredible mom. She's a single mom. When I was seven, my parents got divorced and she just fully committed our home to being a home that is Christ-centered. So I have a sister that's a few years younger than me and grew up in the church, went to a Christian high school, but during my teenage years was just really angry with God as I was kind of processing like the deficiency that I didn't really have a dad that was there all the time. And so kind of wrapped myself up in self-medicating and different vices of the world, but nothing was ever fulfilling. And kind of was that way in college. My mom was so good to continue to pray for me. And, you know, the Bible says it's the fervent prayer of the righteous that avails. And then I met this incredible girl named Brianna, and she just completely changed my life. Fell in love with her immediately. She was just at a higher level. And I knew, and if I'm just, God will meet you where you're at and, and reach you any way possible. But I knew that if I had any chance with this woman, that I needed to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. And so I would go to church with her, and we started going to this church up in St. Louis. We were in Missouri at the time, St. Louis Family Church. And to be honest with you, Brian, I was a little jaded by some of the pastors that I had known growing up, and some of the things that they had done weren't always completely honest. There were some moral failures in the environment that I was around. And it just really was not something, as I'm looking at these pastors as like male figures and leaders in my life, that it's like, man, if that's what being a Christian is, I don't want that. I've experienced that pain firsthand in my life. But anyways, had this pastor at St. Louis Family Church named Jeff Perry. And there was just something different about this guy. I mean, he was so authentic. He was so real. He was so humble. He just cared so deeply about people. He loved God and he cared so deeply about people. I mean, his conversion story was pretty wild. He was kind of a hippie in the late 60s, early 70s in California, was hitchhiking. Some trucker who was a Vietnam vet picked him up and told him about Jesus. And I love how he had said it, that he didn't do it eloquently and didn't articulate it perfectly, but there was authenticity and you could feel the presence of God there. And he received Jesus in that drive. And that changed everything for himself, for his, you know, as he had a family, and then what he's been able to partner with God with his church and how many people it served and helped.
Let me just pause for a second on that idea right there. He wasn't eloquent. He just shared what he knew, and it was authentic.
Yeah.
And I think that's such an encouragement to us who may be fearful to share Jesus with other people. We think we've got to have it all together.
Brian, you're absolutely right. It was just him just providing the gospel as he was able to share his testimony with Jesus. Nobody can ever take that from you. And when you do share your testimony with Jesus, there's a power that comes over that encounter, that experience, that situation that is beyond any type of learning and preparing, honestly.
I'm smiling as you're sharing this because I'm just thinking what we talked about prior to hitting record. And it's Psalm 119:100 says, I have more understanding than my teachers because your word is my meditation.
Yes.
That understanding doesn't come from us.
Yeah.
God, through his Holy Spirit, will drop stuff on people. You just have to open your mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you ever been in a service, Ryan? I know this has happened to me, where the pastor says something, you walk out, you talk to your wife, and you go, you know, when he said X, Y, and Z, it just burned my heart. And
yes.
I've done this with my wife. My wife goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't even hear him say that.
You're absolutely right. The Lord gives you these revelations, and his wisdom is beyond our wisdom. But at the same time, he does call us to learn and engage with his word and the different gifts and talents that he's placed in our lives to be able to cultivate that with him, because he has a plan and a purpose for it. It's for us, but it's actually even bigger than us. But anyways, just to kind of wrap a bow on that story about Jeff Perry, I remember in one setting, there was something going on in the church. I don't know all the details, but there's this loving man who was so humble. He was not harsh in any ways. There was a wolf in the flock. Somebody was doing something and was saying things, trying to pull people away from the love of Christ. And he confronted it on stage. I was like, man, this guy is the real deal. And I just felt the presence of the Lord. So I actually recommitted my life to Christ being at St. Louis Family Church. And that set me on a journey. I was in my early 20s. My wife and I got married when I was almost 25. That was 19 years ago as of March 26th. And we have three daughters. I have a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And it's just been so incredible to walk with the Lord individually, but also together as husband and wife. And he's done some pretty radical things in our life. I'm in the tech space, but I went to school to be a journalist. I was a journalist for a while, but the Lord, he had other plans and got me into online higher education about 17 years ago. And it's been really cool to be able to use education as a lever of transformation for individuals and upward economic mobility that it creates. But to do that and it point to Jesus as Lord and Savior and God as a good and loving Father has been one of the greatest joys of my life.
Let's dig into that. Tell me how you got to pivot from that educational space into what you're doing now. And maybe you should share what you do now, please.
Yeah, so I'll just kind of walk us through this journey. And I wrote a book about a year ago, and in chapter 9, I go through this in detail. So if anybody's interested, you can purchase on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
What's the name of the book?
It's called The God of Tech. It's Modern Technology, Its Divine Origin, and Activating the Next Great Movement of God Through Spirit-Led Innovation. The Lord had given me a word about 6 years ago that he was redeeming the tech space so that all would taste and see his goodness. And so that just set me on a journey to write this book and to explore. And we can talk about that, you know, here in a minute. But I was a journalist. My wife and I moved from Missouri to Dallas, Texas. I was writing articles for American Airlines, their in-flight magazine. I was writing sports articles. And that was fun, but it was feast or famine. It was contract. A few $1,000 one month and a few $100 the next month. And we wanted to start a family. And so someone at my church was working for an online college and asked if I wanted to be a business development specialist, which is basically working in the North Dallas area with local companies to help their employees go back to school through online education. And it was a steady paycheck, so it really came out of necessity. But I found very quickly that I just loved helping people through education. I would set up in a break room, you know, at 11 o'clock at night at a local Walmart and just wait for people to come in on their break. And there'd be a single mom there working her third shift and probably working her second job just to put food on the table. You sit down and start talking with her and asking her about her hopes and dreams. And she would say, I always wanted to be an accountant or a nurse or an entrepreneur and couldn't do college because life happened. And so to be able to meet her where she's at and to bring college to her through an online modality, it was life-changing. And to be a part of that journey, to be a part of their story was so incredible to me. And what's so funny about that, Brian, is, you know, I hate sales. I mean, my first job out of college was actually at a Toyota dealership in mid-Missouri selling used cars. And I didn't even get off the training floor because I couldn't stand the manipulative tactics that were employed as part of the sales process. And here I was selling education, but it wasn't selling. You're never selling anything when you're passionate about helping people. And my whole philosophy in life has been one, to love God and to serve others. And this fit that bucket. So that set me on a journey. That was 2007. And over the course of the next 10 years, I kept moving up and being being a thought leader in corporate education partnerships, I went from working with local companies in North Dallas to working with chief learning officers at Fortune level companies like Cisco and IBM and Microsoft. And
wow.
And so it's pretty wild to see how much education mattered to them. The premise of our company was we built and managed online degree programs, and I ran the corporate partnership side. We acquired this little coding school out of Akron, Ohio called the Software Guild. And overnight, my partnerships with companies like Liberty Mutual and IBM and Bank of America, when they heard about the fact that we had this coding school, all they wanted to do was focus on acquiring the talent that we were producing and send their current workforce into our program so they could reskill them for the future of work, which is in tech. Every company to some extent now is a tech company. You know, we think of Apple and Google and Salesforce and Meta, but it's also Chipotle and Walmart and Target. You know, all these companies are falling over themselves to find qualified tech talent. There's just not enough to meet the demand. So this is a huge opportunity. This will kind of transition into how we built Bethel School of Technology. I helped spearhead a tech hire grant up in Queens, New York. This was 2015, 2016. It's a $4 million grant to help a highly impoverished, underserved community learn in-demand tech skills to get high-paying, high-growth careers in the tech space. And we set up a 16-week coding program with a local community college there. And again, we'd have single moms come in. They'd actually bus in to the facility. We'd set up daycare for them. They learned to code Java in 16 weeks, and then 3 months later, they'd get $80,000 jobs. They were barely making minimum wage before that, Brian.
My mind is blown how incredible that is for these people. What a gift that God allowed you to provide them with.
Yeah. And Brian, this wasn't a Christian program. I had this thought, though, this is how you transform communities. And as soon as I thought that, I heard the Lord say in my heart, "You're absolutely right, Ryan. Would you build something like this with me, where people didn't just discover what they're capable of, but they discovered their identity as my son or my daughter, and that I love them dearly, and I made them on purpose and for a purpose?" And I didn't realize it at the time, but that was the seed of Bethel School of Technology, which is the first and still only online Christian coding bootcamp in the world. That was the seed of Bethel Tech being planted in my heart. And then over the course of the next 2 years, the Lord started unfolding the next step and the next step to actually build the school.
Well, let's talk about that. How did that convergence happen with Bethel, and what's the result?
It was wild, man. All innovation is just the manifestation of an intimate relationship with the Lord. My foundational scripture in my life is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. A lot of people know it well, but it's, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That word acknowledge is the Hebrew word yada. It denotes the most intimate form of knowing. It's the same word we see in Genesis 4:1, where it says, "Adam knew Eve and they conceived." When we have an intimate yada relationship with the Lord, we actually walk and talk with him and we conceive radical heavenly solutions to solve the world's hardest problems. We know ultimately the solution is Jesus. So we create innovation, invention, businesses, ministries to point to Jesus as the solution that the world is looking for. And so through that yada relationship, I recognized the voice of my shepherd and I followed him even when it made no sense at all. I remember driving back. At this point in time, we were living in Oklahoma City. We had helped some friends plant a church and I was still working my corporate job. After that tech hire grant in Queens, the Lord said something to me. He said, "Ryan, what you're doing in the corporate space and what you're doing in ministry is going to merge and it's going to be obvious. It's going to be overt." And then I was driving back from a business trip from Dallas to Oklahoma City. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I looked up at the sky. It just reminded me of a California blue sky. And as soon as I thought that, the Lord said, "I'm giving you California." And I went home. I didn't say anything to my wife. About a week later, she comes up to me and she said, "Ryan, is God saying something to you about California?" And I told her the exact phrase that he's giving us, California. And she looked at me, she said, "He said the exact same phrase to me as well." So we knew we were supposed to move to California. And then the Lord put Reading on our heart and we had no idea why. We knew Bethel Church was there. It's a large church. We knew about Bethel Music. We didn't know much about Bethel though, if I'm just being completely candid with you. But God told us to move there. And then I was connected with a gentleman on LinkedIn. I'd never met him before, but he's a major influencer in the online higher education space. If there was a Mount Rushmore for higher ed, his face would be on it. He helped build Grand Canyon to the online giant that it is today. Anyways, he was posting a bunch of articles about coding schools, which piqued my interest because of what the work I was doing with my employer. And then he posted a picture of himself with Bill Johnson, who's the senior pastor at Bethel. And I felt like I just needed to DM this guy and let our story, just kind of what I just shared with you. And I half expected him never to return my direct message. And that night, he messages me back. He said, "Let's talk tomorrow." So we get on a phone call, share what the Lord's been doing. He said, "Man, this is a Kairos moment. This is a divine setup. I've been talking to a senior leader at Bethel Church about building the first ever Christian coding boot camp in the world. And we've been praying for someone to come into this environment who knows this space and who can run it." I said, "What do you mean?" And in a 15-minute conversation, he said, "Ryan, you're the CEO of Bethel Tech." And so we had already planned on moving out. At that point, I was planning on working remote with my employer at the time, but we moved out in September of 2017, built the school, and launched our first class in January of 2018.
What a whirlwind.
Yeah.
You just know when you know, don't you? And he knew, and you knew. And I love that God told you and your wife separately a week apart the exact same phrase. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it really is.
Since this start of the school in January of 2018, what's happened?
It's been phenomenal. Actually, it's so funny. Just yesterday, and this was just not on our radar at all, but Fortune magazine just ranked us as one of the top 10 coding boot camps in the country. And it was so fun because in the description, they had to talk about that we are a Christ-centered, biblically-based Christian coding boot camp. That's so wild that what we've been doing is just catching fire. We launched our first class in January 2018. Over the course of 6 years, over 1,000 students graduate our program. So many of them are getting high-paying, high-growth careers in tech. 99% of them had no tech background before going through our program. And it really is disrupting higher education because it's either a 15-week or a 36-week program. And it's a fraction of the time, fraction of the cost of a typical computer science degree at a university with even better results. Oftentimes, historically, 80% of our students are getting jobs within 3 months of graduation. You know, we have over 85% graduation rate. It's just phenomenal. They know that it's a Christian coding school and they're learning an in-demand tech skill, but they'll come in and say, "I thought I was coming in to learn coding, but what happened is I got a deeper revelation of God's love for me. And it was a catalyst for me to enter into a more intimate relationship with Him. And now I get to carry that into the spaces that I'm going into." And one thing, Brian, that was pretty wild, I'll share this with you. When we launched the school in 2018, we knew there'd be churches and ministries that would be cheering us on and would be excited for what we're doing. You know, we're bringing the church into the most influential space in the world, which is the tech space. But we are 3.5 hours east of Silicon Valley, the most influential zip code in the world. And we started getting invited to Facebook and to Apple and to Salesforce. We got invited to Google to do a panel discussion on the intersection of Christianity and tech. And it wasn't the tech skills that piqued their curiosity. That was just a prereq to get on their radar. It was the fact that we were intentionally focused on things like culture of honor, healthy relationship and community, brave communication, trustworthiness, critical thinking. These are all kingdom values rooted in the Bible, in the Word of God. But these are also the same soft skills that companies are investing millions of dollars to improve their workplace culture. So we had a seat at the table at some of the largest tech companies because of our kingdom values, which is so awesome because done in authenticity, kingdom values should be attractive to the world.
Yeah, hugely attractive. Now, I know you've got some wild stories of transformation in people's lives as a result of doing the coding school. Somebody listening to this may be thinking, I could potentially pivot from what I'm doing, do it online, and actually completely change the financial and job trajectory of my life.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild to see. I mean, there's so many of them. There's one that always comes to mind. I think in 17 years of online higher education, this is by far my favorite. We had a single mom who was in a really tough situation. She had to get out of a domestic situation, and she was a single mom of five. They were living at her friend's house, and she was sleeping on the floor every night. She found out about Bethel Tech because we did this interview on this show, and she heard the Lord tell her, you need to go to Bethel Tech. She was like, I don't have any money. I don't know how to do that. And the Lord said, just reach out to them. And so she reaches out to us. She's talking to our admissions team. She's sharing her story. And our team knows the story of Queens, New York, and how important helping underserved communities, single moms, people, what we call at-hope community. The narrative in that Tech Hire Grant was that we were helping an at-risk community, which is fine. I understand the narrative, but I feel like it's incomplete, because how you identify someone or how you identify a community is how you will approach them. If you approach them as a risk, then to some degree, you'll keep them at arm's length. But if you identify them according to the hope and the future and the plan and the purpose that God has in our life, as Jeremiah 29:11 states, that's the secret sauce. That's the missing link to all these well-intentioned programs to help people. It's Jesus. And so we call them at Hope Communities. Our team, knowing our focus and intentionality to help at Hope individuals, they reached out to me and our exec team, and we fully scholarshiped her to go through our program. 5 months after she graduates, she's making $158,000. It completely transformed her life. And we did this interview together on that same show that she saw us on originally. And as we're driving back to the airport, she turned to me. She said, Ryan, you know, I'm not supposed to be here, right? I could have been dead. She said, but I'm here because God is good, and because you guys dared to partner with him to do something that has never been done before. And I mean, that's what it's all about for us. And that's just one of the coolest moments for me. And even just the seed of Bethel Tech being planted in my heart because of, you know, helping individuals in that community in Queens, just been awesome. Another testimony that's really interesting, it's not a student testimony, but I think it speaks to the power and the importance and the focus that God has on the tech space. You know, the drive-by narrative is that God and tech are these two mutually exclusive entities, that unlike other major sectors that have foundational roots in Christianity, the tech space was built entirely apart from God. That's the drive-by narrative. Well, I believe that God is actually calling us to redeem tech, and he gave me that word. I was actually on the Bay Bridge in San Francisco, I don't know, 6 years ago, and he said, Ryan, I'm redeeming the tech space so that all would taste and see my goodness. And that word redeem, I thought he meant that he was going to graft something in that was built apart from him, but he was going to use something. You know, the Bible says in Romans that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, that he was going to use this as a tool. But as I was driving about a month later, he reminded me of that conversation. He said, Ryan, what do you think I meant when I said I'm redeeming the tech space? And I said, well, I think you're going to build this into your will. He said, you know, go look up the definition of redeem. So as soon as I could, I looked up the definition. It means to regain possession of. He said, Ryan, I'm regaining possession of something that's near and dear to my heart, that I have a plan and purpose for, so that all would taste and see my goodness, and that the love of Christ would be encountered by everyone everywhere. So that put me on a journey to figure out, was there a time in our recent history that God had partnered with spirit-led believers to create the foundation of our modern tech space? And you don't have to go far to see overwhelmingly yes. And mid-19th century, there were some incredible spirit-led scientists highlighted by James Clerk Maxwell, who was the Scottish physicist. And, you know, Einstein once was asked, do you stand on the shoulders of Sir Isaac Newton? He said, no, I stand on the shoulders of James Clerk Maxwell, because Maxwell ushered in a revolution in the way the physicists perceived the natural world. He believed that everything that we sensed in the natural world was only one part of the equation, that there had to be an underlying reality that caused everything to operate and exist. And he was a believer. He believed that God made man in his image. He gave a stewardship over creation. It was our responsibility and privilege to study the works of the hands of our Creator. The more that we studied, the more he would reveal his creation and creativity to us and through us. And it was from that posture that he discovered that light was an electromagnetic wave, and that you could manipulate these waves in such a way that you could transfer information from one place to the next through empty space. And this is the foundation of Wi-Fi, of radar, satellite, mobile phones. Our modern tech space stands on the shoulders of a spirit-led partnership between Maxwell and God. And God is calling his believers to engage this space, to redeem it, and to take it to its next epoch that will be highlighted by partnership with God to create radical heavenly solutions to solve the world's hardest problems and to put on full display the power of God. That was a long way to get to a testimony that I want to share with you.
I'm still here, man. I'm loving it.
I know, man. I'm just talking your ear up, Brian. So another unexpected impact of starting Bethel Tech was that there were a lot of high-level leaders in the tech space who were Christians who started reaching out to me and saying, hey, I love what you're doing. We need more people in this space. How do we carry the presence of God in these highly secular environments? And so I remember there was one individual, he was the CEO of the Canadian division of this major tech company. And we get on a Zoom call and he said, Ryan, I want to see an outpouring of the power of God on our campus. Like, it's awesome that we have the opportunity to do Bible studies, but I want to see people healed and set free. I want relationships to be restored. I want there to be an overwhelming sense of joy that can only come from God that to break out on these campuses. And I said, well, listen for the cry of your colleagues. They're crying out for it. They're not using the same Christian language you and I are. But listen for when your colleague says that their son is suicidal and they don't know what to do about it. Break that spirit of oppression right then and there in prayer with them. And listen for when your coworker says that they have some physical ailment that they just have to live with and they just say it as if it's a done deal. Pray for healing over them. Declare the healing of Jesus over their bodies. And so you could see it just like seeping into his mind, changing his paradigm and taking it to another level. Well, the next month we get on a call and he is beaming ear to ear. And he said, Ryan, I was in an exec meeting the other day. This lady next to me had just mentioned that she was losing hearing in her ear and she was like, it was a done deal. Like, this is just what I'm going to have to live with. And he knew that as soon as that meeting was over, that he needed to pray for her. So as soon as it was over, he made a beeline for her. He said, can I pray with you? And she thought he was going to just like do it on his own time, you know, just like in kind of a formality. Yeah. Like when someone sneezes and you say, God bless you. And he said, no, can I pray for you right now? She's like, oh, okay. Nobody's ever done that for me before. And so he prays and declares healing over her ear in the name of Jesus. Well, the next morning he wakes up to a text that says, thank you so much. You'll never believe it. My hearing is completely restored because you prayed for me. Like, this is just a taste of what can happen when we have the confidence in the authority of the kingdom of heaven, and that it, when we appropriate it in our spheres of influence, that any inferior counterfeit reality of the enemy has to submit to that authority. Mm. So I do think the more that we do that and go in bold faith to do and to appropriate God's will in these areas, the more people will be like, that is what I want. Like, that's what I've been looking for. I didn't know how to articulate it, but that's what my heart has been crying out for. And I think we'll see a massive revival to and through the tech space because of it.
Kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
That's so encouraging, man. We carry the answer. We literally carry the answer in us through Jesus Christ to every problem. It's in there. And I love the scripture in Colossians that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. And where is Christ? In us.
Yes.
I personally struggle with that reality, but that is the truth. It's immutable. It's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of the letter of his law to fail, his word. If the Bible told us that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge reside in Christ and Christ is in us, what does that mean for us in terms of what we can solve by his spirit? One of the things I love, it's been an underlying theme, is this connection with Christ. This inviting him in to everything is so powerful and so profound and could shift so many things if we would step back and use courage. You explained to me what courage means, the first part of courage. Would you share that with me again?
Yeah, I think courage really is just listening, trusting, obeying, and moving forward on the word of the Lord and what he is telling you. I've heard people say faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Mm-hmm. I think faith is spelled T-R-U-S-T, that when we trust in the Lord, we can have courage and confidence to know that he is faithful to fulfill the promises and the words that he's told us. But he wants to partner with us. And that's the beauty of it. And, you know, whether someone's in the tech space, whether someone's in real estate, whether someone's in financing or whatever it is, it's not a coincidence that you're in the vocation that you're in. The Lord is actually using your vocation to magnify Jesus as the solution that the world's looking for. And one of the things that I like to tell people is that the knowledge that you've learned in your vocation, God will use that to lead people to an encounter with his love. And I'll share a cool story that happened just about a month ago. I was taking an Uber to the airport and I had a driver. He was in his mid to late 20s. We just started chatting and I asked him if he was from the area. He said, yeah, but I had moved to Houston, but I recently just moved back because I lost my job and I just broke up with my girlfriend. He was feeling pretty down and out. I just started kind of talking to him a little bit more and asked him, but here's the deal. Like I mentioned at the beginning that I have 17 years of higher education experience. For the first 10 years, it was specific to corporate education partnerships. So the knowledge that I've gained in that part of higher ed, like I know every major corporate education partnership that's out there. So I start talking to him and I asked him, so are you a full-time Uber driver now or are you working somewhere else? And he's like, well, man, I'm looking. It's funny that you mentioned that and asked because I'm just trying to figure out what to do. But, you know, before I got let go from my company, he was in customer service at a company in Houston. He said they wanted me to learn data analytics so that I could come and build dashboards with their data analytics team. He's like, I have no tech background. I didn't think I fit the mold for that. So I said no. And I was like, well, man, I can tell you, I mean, as someone who runs a Christian coding bootcamp and 99% of our students have no tech background before they go through our program and they end up getting these great jobs, I can tell you that you can do it. And don't disqualify yourself because you feel like you don't fit the mold of what you've seen a technologist look like. Like, this is a great opportunity for you. And then I said, did you know that Uber has an awesome partnership with Arizona State University, and that if you've done over 2,000 drives, that you have access for free any of their online degree programs? And he had no idea, Brian. He's like, no, I had no idea. And I said, you know, they have some pretty incredible tech programs, maybe 1 year or 2 year programs. You could learn data analytics and then a year from now, 2 years from now, end up getting a $100,000 job. He's like, oh my gosh. He's like, yeah, I had no idea. He's like, thank you so much. Then he paused and he looked at me. He's like, how do you know so much about this? Now, here's the deal. The knowledge that I've learned in my vocation is an open door to take it next level. Now he's asking questions about me. I said, well, I've been in online higher ed for 17 years and I've worked specifically in corporate education partnerships for a while. He said, oh, that's so awesome. Then he goes, and you mentioned that you run a Christian coding school. I've never heard of anything like that. And I was like, yeah, it's the first and only. We started 6 years ago. And he said, you know, I really feel like God's been trying to talk to me. And I go, oh man, that is awesome. He's like, yeah, there's a couple of things that have happened. I'm like, I think that's God. I was like, God is pursuing you. Do you feel that? He's like, yes. I was like, do you go to church here in the area? He's like, no, my mom and I used to go to church when I was a kid, but I haven't been in a really long time. I was like, this is the knock at the door of your heart. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart and it's getting louder and louder. I said, will you open it and let him into your heart as your Lord and Savior? He said, I want that. And I said, this is going to be one of the most important moments of your life. We're pulling up to the airport at this point. And I said, Jesus loves you. God loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, that if you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that you would have an eternal relationship with your good and loving Father who has a plan and a purpose for you. He had a plan and purpose for you before you were even born. And I was like, do you want that? He said, he's crying. He's like, I do want that. So I walked him through a prayer of repentance and salvation. And we get out of the car. We give each other a big hug. You know, I was like, you're my brother in Christ, man. I actually had one of my books on hand. I was actually meeting with someone. I was going to give them that book, but I felt like he needed to have it. I put my contact information. I gave a good resource for a great church in the area. And I said, if you need anything, let me know. But this is a moment that's going to mark your life for all of eternity. He's like, I know. But what's awesome about that is that God used the knowledge that I had gained in my vocation in higher education to open a door to reach this person. I wasn't even talking about Bethel Tech. I was talking about, you know, in some ways a competitor, but it was an opportunity because one, I love God, and two, I want to help people and serve others. God used that knowledge that I've gained in my vocation to reach this kid, and his life is forever changed because he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior in that 30-minute car ride. It's pretty remarkable, and I would just encourage people listening, this is the opportunity for you. It is not just about you. God is so good to you that he's going to bless you, but he's going to bless others through you as well in your vocation, and if you'll look for the opportunities, they will present themselves on a daily basis. I guarantee it.
Love that. How can people find out more about you, Ryan, and get your book?
Yeah, it's The God of Tech. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble online. I'm on Instagram, so you can reach out to me that way. Yeah, and it's exciting to see what God is doing in tech, but what God is doing in the marketplace as well. Billy Graham in 2000 said that the next great move of God would come from believers in the workplace. I believe in that prophetic word. I think it is dependent upon believers actually carrying that mantle and activating that prophetic word by going out and being the hands and feet of Jesus in the marketplace. We're on the cusp of it, but we are the tipping point to partner with God to make it happen.
As we finish here, I'd love to have you pray for our listeners, please.
Absolutely. Lord, thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you so much for Brian and his faithfulness to do your will, to create a space that your love can be talked about and that can emanate across the airwaves. Lord, that the Hebrew word for testimony is to do it again. Lord, we just ask you to do it again and again. All the things that we talked about, Lord, that these would create momentum and inspire and activate the individuals that are listening to this conversation, and that you would give them downloads on how you can partner with them to bring heaven to earth in their spheres of influence. And Lord, I pray for a great revival to break out, Lord, that there would be such a massive hunger for your love. And you can hear the world crying out for it, but we need to bring you as the solution that the world is looking for. And from a tech perspective, Lord, let technology be a tool that magnifies you as the solution, the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I pray for favor. I pray for dreams and downloads, radical innovations, whether it's a new business, an invention, a ministry, a nonprofit, whatever, that you would put into the people's lives that are listening to this, and that this would be an anchor point moment to activate that prophetic word from Billy Graham, that the next great move of God would come from believers in the workplace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Ryan, loved our conversation. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me on, Brian.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Please make sure you subscribe to the show and share this with someone you believe would be encouraged and motivated by these stories. Until next time, I'm Brian Robinson, reminding you that the greatest decision you could ever make is to ask Jesus Christ to become the Lord of your life. If you haven't done that, read Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. Thanks again for listening.